Good afternoon. It's amazing that something like the building of the Mishkan, that has so much meaning and so much beauty to it, but still, there's always more that one can reflect on. There's more meaning, there's more symbolism, there's more significance, and it's like a well that keeps on giving. Every time you come back to it and you study the commentaries on it, you see more and more of just the philosophical depth of what the Mishkan represented, and how it's something that even though it was constructed and it's no longer with us, it continues to be a beautiful model of how a person constructs their life. Now, one could expound with 100 different Divrei Torah about what I just mentioned, but let me just mention one nekuda, one point that comes out of Parshas Pekudei. Because in Parshas Pekudei, towards the beginning, it's going through the list of the various materials that were used, the gold, the silver, and specifically I want to speak about the nechoshes, the copper. The pasuk says, it's in Perek Lamed Ches, pasuk Lamed, or Chotes, excuse me, v'nechoshes hatnufa shivim kikar v'alfayim v'arba meos shakel. So there was a certain amount of nechoshes of copper that was offered. What do they make with that copper? Vayas ba es adne pesach ho moed v'yes mizbach hanechoshes v'yes mikbar hanechoshes asher lo v'yes kol klei hamizbeach. So they made with this nechoshes a number of different things. They made the adonim, which are the sockets. They made part of the mizbeach hanechoshes out of the copper. They made the covering of the mizbeach out of the copper. And also, it says as kol klei hamizbeach, they made the sockets or the pegs for a number of other pieces of the Mishkan as well. Okay, and that's all the pasuk says here. Again, parts of the mizbeach, the sockets, the cover of the mizbeach, etc. Now, if a person continues to learn the parsha, flipping onto Perek Lamites, so then the pasuk tells us, this is Perek 39, the pasuk tells us that Moshe came to inspect the mizbeach, and he inspected everything. And then in pasuk lamites it says, "As hamizbach hanechoshes v'as mikvar hanechoshes asher lo." He inspected the mizbeach, the altar made out of nechoshes, out of copper. We've said that already. V'as mikvar hanechoshes asher lo, and the covering of the mizbeach, which is made out of copper, that we know about already. Es badav v'as kol kelov. Okay. Es hakior v'as kano. And not only the mizbeach and some of the pegs and the sockets, but something else as well, which was not mentioned until now, namely that is the kior v'es kano. The kior, of course, was the large basin of which they filled the water to wash hands. V'es kano, of course, is the laver for that kior, for that basin. And the obvious question is, and something that the Barbanel and everyone else posed, is why is that only being raised now? Why didn't we say earlier, when we listed the material, that the nechoshes was used also for the basin and for the laver? Why is it only being said now when Moshe is coming to inspect these items? So the Barbanel gives the answer that is accepted by all the Rishonim, and that answer requires going back to the end of Parshas Vayakel, or really the middle of Parshas Vayakel, where it's speaking about the kelim that were made. And the kelim that were made by Bezalel, so the pasuk says, this is back in Perek Lam Ches, pasuk Ches, Bayas es hakiyor nechoshes, v'yes kano nechoshes, they made the kiyor, they made the basin out of copper, they made the laver out of copper. What do they make it out of? B'maros hatzovos asher tzavu, Pesach Ohel Moed. They made it out of the mirrors, and I guess the mirror was either made out of copper or there was copper in the back, which they scratched off of the mirror. And they made out of the mirrors Hatzovos, which the women who were gathered by the Pesach Ohel Moed, by the entrance into the Ohel Moed, the women who were gathered, they sort of pushed themselves to the gathering of the Ohel Moed, in groups and bundles of people, and they left their mirrors there. And from those mirrors, they scraped off the nechoshes, And that was what they used, the kior v'es kano. They used the that nechoshes to make the basin and the laver. Now, because this was very different than the other nedavos that were given, this was different than the other gifts that were given to the Mishkan. This was sort of like a totally separate type of category of women who were coming and to put the lavers, their mirrors there. So therefore, says the Barbanel, that's why it was not listed in the original list. It had like a different category because it was given sort of separately, and it was the mirrors that were given. It wasn't pure copper. And because of that, it was not mentioned in the list of the materials that were collected and used for the Mishkans. Now, all of that begs the following question. What's this idea of the women coming and pushing their way in hordes to give their mirrors to the Mishkans? So unusual. What were those mirrors? Why do they want to give it for the Mishkan? What was the sort of the nature of such a thing? So there seems to be essentially two totally different approaches to understand this idea of the mirror. Now, one approach is that of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says that the women realized that the mirrors were just about vanity. It was just about the way that they looked. It was just about making themselves up. The mirrors are there for a reason that were not holy in their lives. And they wanted to go ahead and to reject that materialism. They wanted to reject their own desire for their own beauty. And therefore, en masse, they took all their mirrors and they said, we want to get rid of it, and we want to be makdish, so to speak. We want to sanctify these mirrors for the purpose of the kior v'kano. We want to sanctify these mirrors for the purpose of the Mishkan. And therefore, in a way, the mirror was a rejection of whatever you want to call it, sexuality, sensuality, physical looks, all those things. The mirrors and the giving of the mirrors rejected the materialism that the mirrors might be used for. And that's the approach of Ibn Ezra, that's the approach of others also, that the holiness of the Mishkan, again, came as a rejection, so to speak, of the physicality of human life. Now, that being said, the approach of Rav Hirsch and the approach of Rashi is quite different. Rav Hirsch says, and I'll just read you a few lines, it is deeply significant that the vessel designated for consecration of hands and feet, i.e. the kior v'kano, were there to be mekadesh, a person's hands and feet, to wash them and to elevate them, etc., okay, should be made from such a crucial item as a mirror, an object which draws attention to the human body as an object of sensual desire. Now, Rav Hirsch is not saying that there's a rejection of that sensual desire. Rav Hirsch is saying is that specifically the elevation of man comes from an object that also makes us aware of sensuality and sexuality. And where we're not rejecting that, we're taking that awareness and we're elevating it, we're sanctifying it, we're purifying it. It's not the women coming and saying, we want to get rid of the mirrors because it's reminding us of beauty. It's a different statement. It's a saying of the very thing that reminds us of beauty. Let us elevate that and let us sanctify that for the purpose of the Mishkan. It's a very different perspective. And that further perspective was spoken about by maybe the most famous commentary on the Chumash, certainly, but on this topic, namely Rashi, who quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that the women came to bring these mirrors. And by the way, people might remember, we're soon going to be eating in about 6 weeks or so, the karpas, and the karpas representing something that we're going to speak about in just a moment. The women brought these mirrors, and Moshe Rabbeinu initially rejected using these mirrors because he thought that, again, the mirror from a woman is something that has, it's almost tainted by a certain sensuality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, absolutely not. He says, these mirrors is what the women used and the men used when they were in the fields in Mitzrayim. After the ban had gone out, that the couples cannot be intimate, that they can't have children, these mirrors were used, and you can sort of see Rashi in the Pasuk, and the Medrash is much longer, They were used as a way of creating a physical chemistry and a physical connection between the men and the women. And therefore, when the women were given the mirrors, it wasn't a rejection of sensuality. It was a reminder, almost, of those times in Mitzrayim, of those objects that allowed them to perpetuate Klal Yisrael, those objects that allowed them to continue to connect with their families. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not something that is dirty. That's not something that is illicit. That's not something that should be rejected. That's something that should make its way specifically into the middle of the narrative of the Mishkan, and specifically the Kiyor V'Kano, which is there to sort of purify a person. That's not something we should reject. That's something that we should embrace and elevate. And therefore, that Shita of Rashi very much is of sort of the same mind of when Rav Hirsch spoke, you know, so many hundreds of years later, the 19th century. Now, I think that both of these perspectives, the perspective of the Ibn Ezra, the perspective of Rashi and Rav Hirsch, certainly are meaningful for us in the sense that in the sanctity of our own lives and of our own homes, the Mishkan, a person is always thinking, when do I reject Gashmius, reject too much, reject a life of too much just stuff and needs and things, and when do I not reject that, but I elevate it. I want to have a nice home, but I want to have a nice home so I could feel comfort and I can have guests over and I could just have a meaningful life. When do we reject sort of the mirrors, the beauty, the sensuality, the gashmiya, so to speak, of the mirrors? And when do we say, no, that should be a part of the Kedusha of our lives, the Kedusha of the Mishkan, and of course the Mishkan that is our own souls and our own homes. Again, such a beautiful idea, but another example of how the Torah and the construction of the Mishkan really is a continuing blueprint, felt in the times of the Mishkan, felt throughout the times of the Rishonim, discussed by Rashi and Ibn Ezra, felt by Rav Hirsch in his own life in 19th century Germany, and something that is meaningful, of course, to us. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Everyone should have a good day and a wonderful Shabbos.